trial is a blessing. And sometimes we go through the trials, we've got to understand, sometimes the trials go a little bit longer because God's not finished showing grace and He's not finished getting the glory. We've got to remember that. He's going to make a trial a blessing. He's going to work things out. We don't always understand what He's got planned. But I'm glad He knows what He's doing. For sure. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter number 33. I'm going to look at some scriptures tonight. I'm going to teach you how to walk with God based on the life of Moses here. Many of you, this is a familiar passage. I love, just absolutely love Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 34. Seeing Moses as a man of God and seeing his personal walk with God. But one of the things I love about this passage is not only his walk with God, but the fire that was started in Joshua. As a young man, seeing his man of God walk with God and get something from God and then him desiring the same thing. Exodus chapter 33, when you get there, stand with me. I preached several messages out of this passage. Had an opportunity to preach back in March. Went to the men's conference, got to preach to the teenagers, and we focused heavily on this passage specifically about walking with the Lord. Because that's the secret to the Christian life, is walking with God. It's a secret. There's no big revelation. It's just you walk with God daily. You spend time with God. You go to that secret place with God, and you allow God to do the work. And just as we've been talking about in Sunday school, about finding direction, and the verse we shared this morning here, if you were in the adults or teen class, Psalms 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That ought to be our prayer. God, lead me in the paths you want me to go. But you only get that when you're walking with God. Exodus 33, look at verse number 7. 17 is a good one too, but we're going 7 first. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. So there was action that was involved on everyone's part. By the way, there was a reason why Moses set it on the outside of the camp. Because if you wanted to get close to God, you had to show some desire in your life. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. People watched as Moses was walking with God. By the way, people will notice your walk with God, as we heard a testimony just a little bit earlier. People will notice. Verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Notice the last part here. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Here you have a man of God that's walking with God. He's setting the example before the people of God. And he goes and he spends time with God and he talks with God there in the tabernacle. And when he's done talking with God, he leaves the tabernacle. But there was a fire that was started in this young man Joshua's heart. There was a fire that was ignited somewhere along the way where he saw Moses speak with God as a man speaks with a friend face to face. And Joshua begins to part in himself and begins to think in himself, I want what he has. And Joshua wouldn't depart out of the tabernacle because he wanted to walk with God too. So I'm going to teach you how we can take some steps in our lives and how we can walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us as we dive into Scripture tonight. I know many are tired. I know it's hot outside. But God, I pray that you help us to focus. Focus on your Word. And to allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts tonight. We all need to do better in walking with you. None of us have arrived. None of us have the relationship that we should have. We can all improve our walk with you. help us to take heed to the truths. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here, Moses is walking with God. He separates himself from everybody. We're going to get to the crux of the message here in just a moment, but just give you a little bit of the whet and the appetite of what's going on here. I think it's interesting in verse number 8 that all the people rose up and they stood and they watched their man of God walk with God. But they themselves would not set that example for their families. Now listen, you can have leaders in your life that walk with God, but until you as the man, as the leader of your home begin to walk with God, your children are not going to have a fervor, they're not going to have a fire, they're not going to have a desire to walk with God. But here Joshua had a desire to walk with God because he stuck close to the man of God. Because he was right there as Moses' servant. And right where Moses went, Joshua went. We saw that back in Exodus chapter number 20 when Joshua went to Mount Sinai there with Moses. When Moses comes down off the mountain and Joshua meets him there, he says, "We hear the sound of the war." And Moses says, "No, no, no, it's not war. That's people singing down there." And Joshua was right there. While everybody else is living in carnality, Joshua was trying to get close to the man of God because he knew that he was walking with God and he wanted that with his life. I always thought it was interesting that Joshua followed after Moses more than he followed after his own dad. Because evidently, none, his dad, now, this is how ignorant I was when I was a teenager. I thought, because I didn't read the Bible, I thought when it said Joshua the son of Nun that he didn't have a daddy. And it was spelled N-O-N-E. I did that on a test one time and the teacher marked it wrong. Who was Joshua's dad? I put Nun, N-O-N-E. He marked it wrong. His brother Chris Files. He says, spelled N-U-N. I said, well, he had a nun for his dad? I'm like, she's a woman. She's in the Catholic Church. What's going on? I was all sorts of confused. But here, I always thought it was interesting that Joshua is following after Moses. And he's walking with God. He's learning from a spiritual figure in his life. So listen, hey, just because you may have somebody in your life that may not be a spiritual figure does not mean that you can't find a spiritual figure and follow him as he follows God. I know in my life, my parents weren't always the greatest examples of how to live for God. And many times they were working extra hours and they wouldn't even attend church. But I thank God for the different men and women in my life that I could follow after that showed me how to walk with God. Just like Joshua had Moses here. Look at verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt sit with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Here Moses is having an argument with God. He said, "God, you said I found grace in your sight, and you said you're going to show me the way, but you haven't revealed a lot of stuff to me just yet. And if I really have found grace, please show me the way. Show me what I'm supposed to do, because I want to get to know you more." Then God says in verse 14, he said, "My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest." Notice Moses' response in verse 15. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." He says, "God, listen, you can do whatever you want to do. God, you can take us wherever you want to go. But please don't just tell us to go to a location. Please take us there. Because if your presence doesn't go with us, everything that we're doing in the Christian life is in vain. If your presence is not there, then we're wasting our time. Now I can't do this on my own. God, I need you." That's exactly what Moses is telling God. "God, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us up there, please. Because I don't want these people following after me." Just like John the Baptist was pointing others to Jesus Christ, our goal for our lives ought to be to point others to the Heavenly Father. We don't want people to follow after us. I'm not interested in building a group of followers to follow after me. I'm not interested in that at all. I want to point people to Jesus Christ, and we've got to point others to the one that can change their life and the one that can truly help them. He says, "God, if your presence doesn't go with me, please don't take us. Please don't take us." And then God reassures him in verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also thou hast spoken of, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Then Moses responds. He says, "Okay, God, you're going to take us. That's great. I'm glad." Notice what he says. "I said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." God, I want to know you in such a personal way that it changes my life forever. Show me your glory. In your life, have you ever got to the point in your Christian life where you ask God to show him your, his, show you His glory? Have we ever gotten to the point in our walk with God where coming to church just wasn't enough for us? Where talking about the things that God's doing isn't enough. Now listen, those are good things to do, and we ought to talk to others about what God is doing in our lives. But have you ever gotten to the point to where you need to see God and you need to see Him in a real way in your life? Show me Thy glory. Moses is getting to a point in his life where he's leading 3 million Jews through a desert. Now he's already admitted in chapter 18 that he could not do it by himself. Jethro's father-in-law said, "What is this thou doest to the people? Set up then leaders." And he begins to set up a hierarchy of different leaders that are taking care of different problems so he doesn't have to do things by himself. And as he's serving God and he's walking with God, he's leading the children of Israel, and they've got a great system set up. But then we get to Exodus chapter 33. He says, "God, I don't want to do this on my own. I don't want to revert back to everything falling on me. I want to make sure that you're involved in this. I want to make sure that your presence is in the forefront. If your presence isn't going with us, then God, don't take us there." I remember when 13 years ago, Brother Thoreau had asked my wife, well, it was actually 13 and a half years ago, asked me and my wife to pray about moving up here. And I told him we'd pray about it. We began praying about it. And God began to move our hearts long before He moved our bodies. I remember praying this prayer: "God, if Your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. I don't want to make this move just because it's convenient. I want to make sure You're involved. I don't want to just move close to family because it might get easy in the Christian life. I want to make sure You're involved." Does that make sense? Everything that we do in the Christian life, we've got to make sure that we're doing it under the presence of God. Here, Moses begins to walk with God. He begins to show us some step-by-step process of how to walk with God. Let me remind you, the Bible says over in Mark chapter number 3, verse number 14, Jesus Christ says, or the Word of God says, "And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach." The whole purpose of Jesus drawing the 12 disciples unto Him was not to go and propagate the gospel. It was first that they should be with Him. Because we can't spread the gospel if we've not spent time with the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Word in the flesh. And so we've got to spend time with Jesus Christ. God called us first to be with Him and then to go and to tell others about Him. Listen, you can't tell others about one that you don't spend time with. We can't share the blessings of God with others if we're not relishing in the blessings of God. We can't tell others what God has done for us if we're not walking with God and God's not doing something for us. We've got to have time with God. Now understand this tonight. The only thing that we can do that is greater than what God has called us to do is doing what God has commanded us to do. Let me say that again. The only thing that we can do that is greater than what God has called us to do is to do what He's already commanded us to do. Now, God's called me to preach, and I thank God for that. I love preaching the Word of God. But greater than preaching the Word of God is following the command to walk with God. And in our Christian life, we've got to do the things that we are commanded to do so that we can do the things that we're called to do. Moses shows us here how to walk with God. He shows us some steps that we ought to take. But before we get into that, let's look at some of the truths in the passage. Verse 7. Notice, Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle. Here, Moses makes a declaration. He says, what we're going to do is we're going to take this tabernacle and we're going to set it up outside of the camp, over on the other side of where everybody else is at. That way, if you want to walk with God, everybody else is going to have to see that you're serious about your walk with God. Everyone that's going to walk with God, you're going to have to leave your comfort zone to go and be with God. You're going to have to leave the things that you're familiar with to go and be with God. You're going to have to leave the things that you want to do to make time to go and be with God. We live in a day of convenience. Listen to me. We live in a day of convenience where everything is instant gratification. Whatever you want, it's at your fingertips. If you need to buy something, there's an app for that. My wife has every app for every restaurant we ever go to. Why? Because it's convenient. Where are we going to eat? Such and such. Okay, she pulls up the app. She orders the food. By the time we get there, boom, the food's been ordered. It's convenient. We've got an app for Walmart, for Lowe's, all these different things. Amazon, God help us all. There's an app for everything. All you got to do is order it. Bada bing, bada boom. And guess what? There's the convenience of, you want to save your card number? No, I don't want to save my card number. Lord, no, please. I want to freeze that card and change the number. But we live in a day of convenience. And if we're going to walk with God, it's going to take some inconvenience on your part. If you're going to walk with God, it's going to take some shutting off of the television so that you can spend some time with God. If you're going to walk with God, it's going to have to take some separating from family and friends so that you can go and spend time with God. If you're going to walk with God, it's going to take some getting up earlier than everybody else so you can go and have some alone time with God before everybody bothers you. It's going to take some seriousness. It's going to take some separation in our lives. Moses began to weed out those that weren't serious in walking with God. How did he do that? He set the tabernacle out there. That way, you had to get up off your cushion and go over to walk with God. Amen. We live in a society where we want it convenient. I'm going to walk with God on my time. I'll read my Bible when I get a chance. Let me go ahead and tell you, you're not going to read it. Because everything else will get in the way. Well, I'm going to pray at the end of the day. You're going to fall asleep praying. Because everything's going to get in the way. And you're going to push it off and push it off and push it off. But I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. Listen, you're going to walk with God. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some separation. You have to go outside of the camp. You're going to have to separate yourself while everybody else is doing something else. And you're going to have to go walk with God. Here, he pitched it without the camp in verse 7. In verse number 8, notice, it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle, all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Here, everybody watched him as he went to walk with God. But none of them went. None of them went. See, you can sit and watch everybody else walk with God. You can sit and watch everybody else pray and get a blessing from God. You can sit and watch God bless their life and bless their life and bless their life while you get nothing. And then you wonder, what's this Christian life really all about? Well, you're not walking with God. You hadn't figured it out yet. Moses went and he walked with God and God changed his life. All the other men stood at the tent door and watched. Those are the same men that ended up dying in the wilderness. Think about it. Read your Bible. Think about it. Those are the same men that ended up dying in the wilderness. They stood there at their tent door while somebody else spent time with God. I don't want to sit on the sideline and just watch everybody else serve God. I want to serve God. I want to walk with God. I want to spend time with God. There's a demon fly around here messing with me. I promise you, I put deodorant on. Verse 10. Notice, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand on the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Here, everybody else got excited about the man of God walking with God. Man, I'm so glad our preacher, I love his preaching. I'm so glad we have so-and-so coming in for a revival. I just love his preaching. I can tell he walks with God. Well, what about you? What about us? I love hearing so-and-so preach, okay? They've got to walk with God. It's fine and dandy. What about you? Do you have a walk with God? Here they saw it. The Bible says they rose up and they worshiped every man in his tent door. So here, they desired to have what he had, but they weren't comfortable enough leaving what they knew to get what he had. Don't miss this. until you get to the point where you realize I've got to leave my comfort zone so that I can walk with God and get something from God, then you're just going to be stuck in your tent door worshiping and praising God on other people's behalf while never walking with God yourself. Here, they worshiped. They praised God. But they were praising God for the blessing for someone else. I don't want to spend all my Christian life praising God for the blessings of other people. Now listen, I'll praise God with you with your blessings and the things that God does in your life. But I'm going to be selfish for a minute. I want some blessings from God too. And in order to get those, I've got to walk with God. I can't just spend all of my life praising God for what God's doing for someone else and God never do anything for me. I don't know how people do that. Here, they should have desired to walk with God as well. Notice, in verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaking to his friend. Here, I notice that when you walk with God, how you view God will change. See, here, the Bible says that Moses walked with God and spoke to him face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. It never ceases to amaze me the amount of people who, when you begin to pray, they say, I don't know how to pray. Now listen, let me give you some heads up. When it comes to praying, you just talk to God like you talk to a friend. That's what Moses did. And here he viewed God differently. And he's called a friend of God. Simply because he chose to separate himself and go walk with God. Now, we'll get to the message here in a minute. These are some food for thought before we get to the message. Here, Moses' view of God changes. He sees him as a friend. He sees him as someone he can relate to. He sees him as someone that he can confide in. We also see in chapter number 34, look at verse number 29, go to chapter 34, verse 29. Here the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh. He gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Here, Moses had been up there with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He got close to God, and it changed who he was to the point to where people could not handle his walk with God. Verse 33, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel, that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Here, how others viewed Moses began to change because Moses walked with God. Here, Moses was having a walk with God, and others come up and say, Moses, you're not looking the way you used to look. Moses, there's something different about you. Moses, the things that maybe you used to wear, you're not wearing anymore. The way you used to talk, you're not talking anymore. You look different. Moses says, yeah, I've been walking with God. Moses wasn't better than anybody else. Moses was just walking with God. To the point to where the people could not handle his spirituality. So he had to put a veil on his face. He had to cover what shone brightly on his face. Because when you walk with God, there's going to be a glow and an aura about you. Some people can't handle it. Some people can't handle it. And then here, in verse 34, when he goes before the Lord to speak with him, notice the Bible says, he took the veil off. You know what that tells me? That tells me when you walk with God, you can't hide anything from God. You can't hide anything. Because God knows the real you. God knows what's hidden in your heart right now. God knows who you are when nobody's around. God knows the real you. You can put the veil on. You can put the facade on. You can put the cloak of Christianity all over your life. But when it comes to walking with God, the real you is going to come out. And God's going to deal with you face to face as a man deals with a friend. God loves you too much to allow you to live in the state that you're in. I want you to know, let's go back to chapter 33. There's four things that we ought to have in our lives if we are going to walk with God. Four things. If you're going to have a real relationship with God, you need these four things. Number one, you need to separate yourself. Number one, you need to separate yourself. If you're going to walk with God, it's going to take some initial act of separation on your part. If I'm going to have a relationship with God, God will not accept me in the state that I am in and leave me there. Now listen, God will pick you up from the miry clay and He'll pull you up. He'll set your feet on a rock. He loves us too much to leave us in the state He found us in. And so if I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to have to change the way that I was living in the world, and I'm going to have to line up with what God says. Amen. If I'm going to further my walk with God, I'm going to get close to God, I've got to get closer to this book. And I've got to allow this Word of God to change me from the inside out. Amen. It's going to take some act of separation on your part. Simple illustration. Something that I do regularly, and some others that have been around me will know, when I receive a phone call, a lot of times I'll go to answer the call and I will get up from the table and I'll step out of the room out of respect for the people that are eating so they can continue talking and not to worry about me holding the line, but also out of respect of the person that's on the phone. That used to be a common thing. Just step out of the room, step to another location, and finish your conversation. It's not trying to keep any secrets from anybody. It's just a simple fact of courtesy that's trying to show to other people. In your Christian life, sometimes when you're walking with God, you're going to have to step away from the crowd. Sometimes you have to remove yourself from where everybody else is at. Can they continue the conversation without you? Absolutely they can. But somebody more important is on the line. Amen. God's got our number and we've got to separate ourselves. Notice he had to separate himself to get to know God. The Bible says in Proverbs, write it down, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. If you want to get to know God, if you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to separate ourselves. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Separation does not happen if you don't want it. It won't happen if you don't want it. Brother Mr. Rowe been traveling all over America in the last several months. They've been from coast to coast, literally, Florida to California, all the way up to South, everywhere. They've been in churches, church after church after church after church. If I'm lying, I'm dying. They'll tell you, separation is almost missing in churches today. The doctrine of separation is not taught. And then we wonder why our people struggle walking with God. Because in order to walk with God, we've got to separate ourselves from the world. We can't continue to live in the state that God found us in. We've got to draw close to God. And if you're going to separate yourself unto God, you've got to separate yourself from something else. And that is the world. We separate from the world unto God. We separate from unrighteousness to righteousness. We separate from ungodliness to godliness. We separate from unholiness to holiness. We separate from our ways to God's ways. But it takes desire. You will only go as far with God as you are willing to go. You have to be willing. I can desire for everybody in this room, and I do desire for every one of us to walk with God and to be the best Christian we can all be at all times. But you will only go as far with God as you're willing to go. You've got to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to give up some things. You've got to be willing to desire. You write it down, look it up later. Psalms chapter 37, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, God will give you the desires of your heart, meaning God places those desires there. And as you separate yourself to God, you're going to want to do more for God. You're going to want to spend time more with God. Now, if you have never opened up your Bible and just spent some quality time reading the Word of God, if you would just take some time and open the Bible, begin to read it and let God speak to your heart and let God work on your heart, let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does, you're not going to want to put the book down, I'm telling you. You'll want to walk with God as much as you can. And then when you have to put it away, you're going to look forward to opening it back up so you can get back with God and you can get alone with God and allow God to work in your heart. It's going to take desire. We've got to separate ourselves. Now listen, anybody can come to God for salvation. But in order to go farther with God, you got to be willing to change some things. You got to be willing to change some things. Yes, God will save anybody in any situation of life. God can pull the drunkard out of the ditch. God can pull the drug addict off of the floor. God can save anybody from any walk of life. But if we're going to go to the next level with God, the word up is directional. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Up is directional. That means you're going from one place that you were to a better place. You're going up in life. Why do you think, ladies, we call it makeup? Anyway, moving on. Praise the Lord. Moving on. It's just a joke. Calm down. But if we're going to go far with God in our relationship with Him, it's going to take some change. I'm getting some looks. Praise God. Amen. It's okay. Moses had to put a veil on too. It's okay. If we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to change some things. In Exodus chapter 28, write it down, look it up later. God gives the qualifications for a high priest and a priestly garments and the ephod they're to wear. You see, if somebody was going to serve in the office of a priest, God had some requirements that were different than just being a regular saint. If they're going to serve in a leadership position, there's going to be some requirements that are a little bit different because there's a little bit more that's expected out of them. Because God wants to help them to be able to bring others up. In order to bring somebody up, you've got to be a little bit more elevated. Not that you're better than anybody else, but we're all at different spots spiritually. Every one of us are. And we're all trying to help one another grow in the Lord. If I'm going to walk with God, I need to separate myself. Maybe it means you need to start dressing up when you come into the presence of God. Dress your best for church. Maybe you need to clean up the filth out of your lifestyle. Listen, I'm going to read this to you. I got it written down. Most church members grieve and quench the Spirit of God long before the preaching ever starts because of how they desecrate the holy place with their immoral dress and their disgruntled attitudes. And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us during a message. Well, it could be that we've quenched the Spirit of God to the point to where God's not going to work in our hearts because of how we've presented ourselves. We've got to present ourselves to God and separate from what we used to be. I remember growing up, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. And I remember my mom and dad told me I needed to dress up for church. Meaning, there were some clothes that I wasn't going to wear that I would wear to play in. My torn whatever. And I'd wear different church clothes. Why? Because we're going to church. If we're going to walk with God, it's going to take separation. Number two, if I'm going to walk with God, it's going to take saturation. Saturation. Now, illustration here, when you saturate yourself, sometimes teenagers do this far too often. You go to spray some perfume or cologne on you, and you go to pour the whole bottle, you saturate yourself with it. Just a couple squirts work just fine, I'll tell you that much. Somebody, 5 minutes later, they're still squirting. Lord help us, you're going to use a whole bottle in 2 days. You take a shower, you'll smell better. You don't have to just cover it in perfume. But we've got to saturate ourselves with God. You say, how do I saturate myself? Look at verse number 9. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. Here, God was dwelling in the cloud. The Bible says it stood at the door of the tabernacle and the Lord talked with Moses. So when the cloud descended on the tabernacle, God himself spoke to Moses. Sometimes if you're going to walk with God, you've got to saturate yourself in the presence of God. You can't walk with God when you're saturated in the presence of the world. You're walking with the world. The Bible says you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. You'll be at enmity with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In order to walk with God, I got to separate myself, but then I got to be willing to allow Him to saturate me in His presence. Be fully overwhelmed and overcome with His presence. But also be saturated in the person of God. Notice, He said, I read it to you earlier, in verse number 18, He said, show me thy glory. He said, if your presence doesn't take us up hence, I don't want to go. He said, God, I want you there. Not, I don't just want your presence, God, I want your person. Your presence, I'm glad. Listen, Brother Nick, His presence is with me in this room because we're both in the same room. But it's not until I get over here that I'm near His person. Right. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You can be in the presence of somebody, but not at the person of somebody. Right. And here, Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. But God, I don't want just your presence. God, I want you to show me thy glory. Your presence, yes, I'm glad your presence brought us here. And yes, I'm glad that we're closer than we've ever been before. But God, I don't want just to be in the same building with you. I don't want just your presence to be near. God, I want your person. I want to be where I can touch you. Mm-hmm. And that's why God was able to speak to him face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. That's why when he said, God, show me your glory, God covered him in the cleft of the rock. And passed before him, and Moses saw God in a way that nobody else had ever seen God. He saw His glory. Has God become real in your life? Have you allowed yourself to be saturated in the presence of God, in the person of God, but also be saturated in the power of God? Go to chapter 33, look at verse number 28. Chapter 34, verse number 28. Here Moses, the Bible says, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Here, 40 days, 40 nights, Moses is walking with God. The Bible says he doesn't eat bread and he doesn't eat water. Why? Because God's presence was enough. Because God's person was enough. Because he got extra power from God. We covered this three or four Wednesday nights ago. We've got to get to the point when we finished up the book of Philippians chapter 3. We've got to get to the point where the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We've got to get to the point to where we grow from the physical strength to the spiritual strength. The Bible says in Psalms 34, from strength to strength. We got to get to the point to where we quit relying on the physical strength that we have and we start relying on the spiritual strength that God gives. And here Moses, he said, I want the presence of God. I want the person of God. But more importantly than anything else, I need the power of God. You see, there are things you can do in your Christian life all by yourself. Trust me, I know. I've faked it in the Christian life before. You have too. Don't just look at me that way. You have too. We put on the facade. We put on the smile. Some of you come to church and you're arguing with each other out there in the parking lot. And you come inside, you put on a smile and you shake hands with people. Happens in churches all the time. Right. They put on a facade. And because of that, they're living in their own strength, not in spiritual strength. And they don't have the power of God. Moses was on top of a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat bread and he didn't drink water, but he had God. He had the presence of God. He had the person of God right there in front of him. But he knew what it was like to have the power of God on his life. If there's nothing else that I ever have in the ministry, I want to have the power of God. Amen. Because we can't do this on our own. I've watched men get up and lead churches in their charisma and in their own strength, and the power of God be far, far, far away from that place. I've seen it happen. But if we're going to make a difference in McAllister, if we're going to make a difference in the lives of those around us, we've got to have the power of God. Moses didn't get the commandments on his own. He didn't have food. He didn't have water. The only sustenance he had was God. You ever gotten to that point in your Christian life where nothing else would suffice? Jesus Christ did. John chapter 4. He was there at the well in Samaria. The woman comes. He leads her to himself. She gets saved. The disciples come back from the city with food and bread, all this. He says, I have meat that you know not of. He says, I'm already full. If anybody could have been full of themselves, it would have been Jesus. But he chose not to be, and he chose to be full of his heavenly Father by way of example to us. He showed us how to live in the power of God, not in the power of our own strength. You see, the reason so many people burn out and quit on church is because they conform to a set of rules and a set of standards, but they never develop a real relationship with God. Let me tell you this. If you would learn to walk with God and you learn to get in that book and allow God to speak to your heart, you won't have a problem with the standards and the convictions and the rules and the different things that we preach around here. Right. Amen. It all stems, do we walk with God like we should? Every time I have ever backslid in my Christian life, it's because I've not been walking with God like I should. Every single time. I get to develop things in my own strength. Listen, sometimes you go through the routine of the Christian life. I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I go to church Wednesday night. I go door knocking on Thursday. I come to prayer meeting on Saturday. I go do things on Saturday. Especially during the school year, in the Christian school. And some of you kids know this. You go through the routine of the Christian school and you feel like you're getting better and you feel like you're getting spiritual. But the only time you ever read your Bible is when you have to do it in Bible class. And we're not getting fed like we should. We're learning, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because we're not allowing that special time with God like we need. And it's so easy. I heard it said back when I was in Bible college, the easiest time for you to backslide is when you're in Bible college. You get preaching every single day. You get Bible classes every single day. You get the Word of God in front of you every single day. And it's easy to allow everybody else just to pour and to pour and to pour, but never go and spend time with God yourself. And in a church like ours, where we hear preaching and we have preachers that come in and we're fed regularly from the Word of God, it becomes easy just to allow the filling to happen here at church, but never walk with God. Moses shows us here we need to be separated. We need to be saturated. But also, thirdly, go to chapter 34, verse number 34. There needs to be not just separation, not just saturation, there needs to be some seriousness about your walk with God. You see, you've got to make your walk with God important. There's got to be some seriousness. Listen, I love candy. I love candy with some seriousness. Brother, I showed you my candy jar, amen? I got candy everywhere in my office. I love candy. Beside my recliner in the house, I've got jars of candy. I was telling Brother Throw just this past week, I eat candy almost every night. If I don't eat candy, then I'm exhausted. I eat candy every night. Yeah. I love candy. There's some seriousness about my candy addiction. Let me ask you, do you have some seriousness about your walk with God? Amen. Is the Bible next to you everywhere you sit? Everywhere you go? Is the Word of God present with you? I've got apps on my phone, and I listen to a lot of stuff. I got four or five sets of earbuds. Always got something in my ear. Always got something playing. Always listening to preaching. Listening to the Bible. Listening to good godly music. Listening to some different podcasts about the ministry. I'm always listening to stuff. But those are not substitutes to me walking with God. Those are great things. And we ought to fill our mind with those things, because when you put good stuff in your mind, good stuff's going to come out of your mouth. And trash in, trash out. We know that. But those things are not a substitute for walking with God. We've got to have personal time with God. We've got to spend time with God. There's got to be a seriousness. Look at chapter 34, verse 34. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. There was a seriousness. Moses had gotten to the point in his Christian life where he realized, I'm going to be over here talking with Brother Brad. Be over here talking with a friend, with a buddy. We're going to be having a good time. But when I separate myself and I go to talk with God, I'm going to come over here and this veil's going to come off. And I'm going to get real with God. And there's going to be some communication that I have with God that I don't have with anybody else. There's going to be things that I talk with God about that I don't talk with anybody else. There's going to be some burdens that I give to my God that I'm not going to give to anybody else. There's going to be a relationship that I have with God that's not matched by any other relationship I have in life. Because the veil came off. Because there's a way that God knows me that nobody else does. God knows everything. By the way, the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In your Christian life, say you got the body, the soul, and the spirit. The Word of God will pierce the soul and the spirit and divide the two. And He'll separate your normal senses from your spiritual walk. Does that make sense? That's what the Word of God does. I'm going to make this statement and follow me. I believe with everything inside of me, that's why some Christians don't walk with God. They're afraid of what God's going to separate. They're afraid of what this book's going to remove out of their life. Because the closer you get to God, the further you get from the worldly pleasures. And the more I walk with God, the less I fulfill the senses of the body and the emotions of the soul, and I feed the spiritual man. A lot of people don't walk with God because they're afraid to. They're afraid of what God's going to do. Because the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder between soul and spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. That means, listen, that means the Word of God, when you walk with God, it goes to places that nobody else will see. The thoughts and the intents of your heart. Why do you do the things that you do? You walk with God, God will reveal that to you. Some people don't walk with God because the only reason that they come to church is to please their spouse. Some people don't walk with God because the only reason they come to church is because they know they should set a good example for their kids. Some people don't walk with God because they're going through the motions of church and the Christian life. And the Word of God will pierce. It'll discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When you get alone with God, God's going to get real up in your business. And God's going to tell you, no, 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 you're doing this all wrong. You see, when I get alone with God and that veil is pulled back just like with Moses, God begins to speak in a way that others don't see. God begins to deal with things that others may not be privy to because the veil's covered. God sees you in a way that nobody else will. And the Word of God's a discerner. There are times, and you know this to be true if you've ever read your Bible, there are times where you read your Bible and it is a looking glass. And as you read it, the Word of God reveals to you some things, and the Holy Spirit works inside your heart, and God begins to convict you. And sometimes, in my Christian life, I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes I've read my Bible and I've just had to step away because God was getting real. Because there were some things that I didn't want to deal with at that time. That God was saying, if you're going to go any further, if you're going to get any more of me, then you've got to get rid of this. You've got to allow me to work in that area. But God, I don't want to give this up. But God, I can't forgive so-and-so. But God, I know what I'm doing. I've got this under control, God. And God says, no, you don't. That thing's going to wreck and ruin your Christian life, and you're not going to go anywhere because you have a desire towards that more than you have a desire towards me. Moses shows us, in order to walk with God, I've got to have separation. I've got to have saturation. Thirdly, I've got to get serious about my walk with God. You see, things become personal. God knows your burdens. God knows your trials. God knows your heartaches. And when you get serious about walking with God, there's going to be an aura about you that other people are going to see. And it might make them nervous. Other people saw Moses' walk with God, and the people said, we can't handle the shine. Please cover your face. We can't handle it. Now, it didn't mean that Moses was ugly. It just simply meant that Moses was on a level with God that nobody else was. And others could not handle that because they weren't willing to give some things up. You see, your speech will become Christ-like. Your actions will become Christ-like. The anger that you have in your life will be removed because you'll be walking with the Lord and the fruit of the Spirit will begin to grow. We've got to have some separation. We've got to have some saturation. We've got to be serious about our walk with God. And lastly, if I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to have to schedule time for it. I'm going to have to schedule time for it. Go with me to chapter 34, verse number 4. Verse number 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And notice what the Bible says. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took his hand and two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud. In chapter 33, when he sets the tabernacle up afar off, everybody else is already awake. It's later on in the day. And Moses goes and he walks with God and all the men stand in their tent door and they see him walk with God. But listen to me. If you're going to go further with God, there's going to be some things that are done in secret that nobody's ever going to know about. You're going to have to schedule some time with God. He said, but I've got a busy day. Listen. Regardless of what science tells you, the body doesn't need 8 hours of sleep. You can operate on 3 or 4.
Amen.
Okay? Every day. That's right. You can operate on 3 or 4. He said, I just need my sleep. No, you need to walk with God. You need that more than you need anything else. If you can learn to rest in the spiritual power and strength that God can give you, you won't have a problem waking up a little bit early just to walk with God. So there are times where we got to separate ourselves. Now listen, I'm not always the greatest at waking up early. I'll tell you that much. I got 17 alarms on my phone. Amen. Ask my wife. But there are times where I got to get up early. There are times I've got to get things done. And I know if something's going to get done, I'm going to have to start a little bit earlier. We're going to be going to the airport tomorrow morning. We're leaving here at 5:30. Got to get up early. Praise God. Coffee, coffee, coffee. Got to get up early for that. But you know what? If we go all day long in the power of our own strength and I never find time to walk with God, then I wasted that day. And so have you. We've got to schedule time. If it does not get scheduled, young people, you learn this now because as you grow up, your life's going to get busy. Right now, you've got all the time in the world. Okay? I never understood this as a kid. People would tell me all the time, and when I was in high school, when I was in college, you got to schedule this, you got to schedule this. Why do I got to schedule this? 24 hours a day. It's the same as every day, 24 hours. It's always there, 168 hours in a week. It's always going to be there. But as I've gotten older and as I've grown, time flies. And if I'm going to get something done, it's got to be written down. It's got to be scheduled.
Right.
On my desk right now, I got a 5-year planner sitting on my desk right now. Brother Thoreau, you got a couple different planners. It's got to be scheduled. It's got to be marked down. It's got to be booked. Why? Because if it's going to get done, it's got to be scheduled. And if you're going to walk with God, you've got to be purposeful. You've got to schedule it. It's not just going to happen. Kids don't just turn out for God. You want a product of a child who's turning out for God? You've got to follow the process that God gives you in the Bible. So let me ask you, when do you pray? When do you read your Bible? Oh, when I get around to it? No. Let me go ahead and tell you. If you're not scheduling it, you're not doing it. I've used this quote before. I've got it written in several spots. Brother B.G. Buchanan, pastor down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He came and he preached when I was in Bible college, and he did a retreat for us. We were up in Branson. And he gave this principle to us, many of the things that he preached. He said, I live by this principle. No Bible, no breakfast. No devotions, no dinner. No scripture, no supper. If I'm going to feed myself physically, I've got to feed myself spiritually. Because I don't want to just go in the strength of myself. By the way, God used that man. God blessed his ministry. He's in heaven today. But his testimony lives on because he walked with God. So how's your relationship with God? So when your relationship with God is right, your relationship with everybody else will be right. You grow close to God. The Bible says Jesus Christ grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and with man. When you grow with God, you will grow with man. It's a byproduct. As you grow closer to God, God will grow you closer to people. You'll begin to have a heart for people. But when your relationship with God is not right, you will constantly have conflicts and friction with others. Ask my wife, she will tell you. We talked about this back when we first started dating. I told her, if you and I are at odds with one another, it's because one of us is not walking with God, if not both of us. Because what the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Right? That's what the Bible says. And so spouses, if you're arguing with one another all the time, somebody's not right with God. Somebody's relationship is off. Somebody's not walking with God like they should. How is your walk with God? Have you separated yourself? Are you saturating yourself? Are you serious about wanting a walk with God? And then have you scheduled it? Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed.